Looking at consumer complaints and identity theft now here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry Mueller here, and my guest, Jim Rabbit of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Always pleased to have Jim come by, and certainly if you have questions for him, there is a scam out there or an identity theft issue you want to let us know about, why please, or a problem, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison at 263-1890. Jim Rabbit, welcome back. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you. Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here.
I tell you what, there's always something going on out there, isn't there?
I have an interesting job. It's never boring. There's always some new twist.
What about the no-call list and the violations on that? They were the number one consumer complaint in Wisconsin, if I'm not mistaken.
The no-call list has become the number one since the first year that the law was enacted. We have lots of consumers who call to report phone calls that they get when they're on the list and they don't think they should have. So this year, once again, it was number one. Lots of calls. It's an interesting law because primarily consumers can't do much to stop a call from coming in. You put your name on the list and then you depend on us to make the business stop calling. It's quite difficult sometimes when they're out of state or out of the country, but we've had some pretty good successes with getting businesses to stop making calls.
Well, I tell you what, we've got Dorothy online from Black Creek who has a question for you. So let's go there. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my question is, I'm one of the people who a year ago had their Social Security number printed on the return address on the address of tax forms.
Yes.
Coming in. And so I signed up for the Year of Credit Watch, and I found the company that was selected rather difficult to deal with. They kept sending me multiple copies for one thing. One day I got 12 of the same thing in my mailbox. So anyway, a year has gone by, and this was Equifax. It sent me a letter saying, your time is up. Would you like to renew, you know, for $99 or something like this for the next year? And I just ignored it, you know, because I didn't really want to deal with them. Every time I called them, I was on hold for a half hour. And, you know, there was nothing happened to them. My credit was okay so far as they were concerned. Well, this last Saturday, just a couple days ago, I got in the mail a new credit watch thing saying that my credit was okay and thank you for signing up again. And I had not signed up again. Now...
Should
I just ignore this?
No,
you shouldn't.
Should I try to call them and get it stopped? Because I didn't sign up again.
Yes, I'm concerned that there were a lot of people who were put into this program, so this might be a widespread program or a widespread problem. Definitely call them, tell them you did not renew. I'm really interested if they sent you a negative option. You said you didn't respond to their offer, and did they somehow say if we don't hear from you, you're automatically signed up?
That's a good question.
So that's probably what it was.
We might want to see what they've got. The other thing is you could file a complaint with us, which we would then use to contact them and find out on behalf of all of the Wisconsin people who were put into this program.
I'll have to see if I saved that letter. That was about a week ago.
Okay.
A week and a half ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if I saved it and put it in the file or if I just, you know, tore it up and threw it away.
I'm real interested to see how they made this offer and what they have to say about why they think you resubscribed.
Yeah.
Watch your credit card statement, too. Make sure they're not billing you that $99 that you didn't authorize.
That's right. They have my credit card, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, so get a hold of the company, and you might file a complaint as well?
I would say file a complaint as well. Yes, that would give us the opportunity to talk to the company and find out what's going on with everybody on this issue. You know, you can still get the free credit reports.
Yeah.
So you don't your decision on whether you want to sign up for the regular report for $99 a year, or you can get one free credit report from each of the three credit reporting agencies by going to annualcreditreport.com, and that'll give you three different reports, one each year.
Mm-hmm. So do that. And to file a complaint with you, how do they do that?
I'll give you our toll-free number. It's 1-800-422-7128. And folks there can send out complaint forms or send information on any number of subjects.
All right. Good luck, Dorothy.
1-800-422-7128?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thanks for calling. Carl in Wausau, it's your turn. Hi, Carl.
Good morning, Larry.
Morning.
A while back, I made the mistake of unsubscribing for unwanted email, you know, spam. And I was wondering, is there any possibility that the future is going to have us a do not spam list?
Oh, I hope it's after I retire. That sounds like an awful big list. The difficulty, we've talked to legislators over the last few years about that exact issue. And the difficulty with spam, unlike unsolicited telephone calls, is they are so hard to trace.
Yeah.
A phone call, you can eventually follow the wire back to who made the call. Spam over the internet is very, very difficult to find who sent. I remember at one point we tried to trace an email back, and it bounced 28 times, and we never did find where it originated. We followed it through 28 different bounces around all over the world, Australia, mm-hmm. London. So I'm not sure that the technology is ready the way the internet is built. It's not built to send messages backward. It's only sending them forward.
Yeah, one thing that has worked for me is when I get I look in my, you know, you can block them, and the spam goes into the spam box. But when I see a whole bunch of them for one particular company, I'll go to that one. And then on a particular day, I'll send them all back to them. If I can find a, you know, support or info or something like that, email address, and I'll send them the whole works. And that has gotten me off of a couple of the companies' lists. And I've done this with the phone calls. The people who ignore them, I found that if I just take and hold the pound key down until they hang up, they don't call back after it happens twice.
That'll get you off their list?
Yeah, that gets you off their list.
I have to say I opened up an unsolicited spam a couple weeks ago. I opened it up and looked at it, didn't react at all. And the very next thing that happened within about an hour, I sent emails from my email appeared on all of my coworkers' messages, and it was offering them some pretty nasty products. So,
man,
I better not do that. Apparently, they got into my my address book or somehow just by opening that email. So,
spams do offer some products that you don't want other family members to see.
That absolutely is true, and my coworkers were sure getting a kick out of it.
Thanks, Carl. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Bill in Burnhamwood, it's your turn. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. Good show.
Thanks.
See, I just have a question about these advertised air fryers. They're you know, $119 one way and then $99 one way, and I just did that, and there's real small print at the bottom of the ad, and it ends up doesn't really cost you $119. It probably can cost you another $100. Is that, as long as they have that small print, is that legal, or is there anything I can do about that, or what's your policy on that?
Airfares are a difficult thing for a state to deal with because, in general, they are regulated by the federal government, the advertising of airfares. So we don't have a lot of experience with them. When we have tried to look at them, the small print does tend to cover them. Their attorneys have them put on the small fine print that there are extra fees over and above the advertised airfare. And usually those are airport landing fees and taxes and things like that. And we've never found anything that we could really point to and say that it was something illegal. Sorry.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling.
Interesting question.
Yeah, you need a magnifying glass when you're looking at those things. Nick in Green Bay, it's your turn. Hi, Nick.
I just got a quick question for you. My mom-in-law just got a brand-new computer. This was last year, but I wanted to know how they do this. And she wanted AOL, and AOL said they give you AOL free for 3 months as long as you use the credit card. And she filed bankruptcy, so she didn't have a credit card, so she used ours. And that was fine, but then 3 months later, all of a sudden, $60 got withdrawn from her account. and I was really irritated. So I called AOL, and they wouldn't even talk to us about it because it's not our account. I said, well, that's not right. We're paying for it. How can it not be your account? She's like, well, you don't know the password or anything, so it's not your account. We're not going to talk to you about it. How can they get away with that? I mean, it's my credit card. I was paying for it. And it took me 4 months to get the money back.
This is a really tough situation. First off, AOL and these guys that give you a free 90-day, usually you need to remember to cancel right on time or they're going to just renew you for the paid service. So I understand how they switched over and started charging. The difficulty with someone else having the account and you having it billed to your own credit card, which a lot of us do for our children, is just that for security purposes. And now with identity theft, they're not going to talk to anyone who can't give them the proper identifying information, like the PIN number or something. They don't want to give information to someone that they can't confirm. Mm-hmm. So they're doing what they're supposed to be doing as far as identity theft. It makes it very difficult for someone else to try and cancel. And the only advice there is you need to work with the person who had the account, get the PIN number, make a conference call. I've had to go through that one myself, making a conference call with my daughter on the line. Between us, we could give them all the information they required. But that's a lot of that has to do with identity theft and just securing the system.
And the other quick story I have real quick for you is I was online chatting with some people, and someone offered to sell me 150 credit card numbers for $50. I said, well, if I don't really trust you, send me some in good faith. And sure enough, they sent me the credit card numbers and stuff. I called the local police. I called the FBI. Nobody cared. I actually do still have the credit card numbers. And I called the credit card company, and we sat there for a half an hour going through the credit card numbers I had and canceled all of them. But it's just amazing how no one really wants to do anything about it.
Oh, my goodness.
Man.
That's a very bizarre story. Part of the Bureau of Consumer Protection now is the new Office of Privacy Protection. The governor created 2 years ago in April.
Yeah.
And their job is to try and help fight identity theft. So if we run into something like that again, I think we'd be interested to look and see what we could do with it.
Okay, I even called the people and they didn't care. They said they had online protection, so they didn't care. Yeah. I said, well, I got your credit card number, I got your expiration date, I got everything. And this was for people all over the country.
Man.
That's one of the problems with identity theft is most people... they know they can cancel the credit card. They know they've got protection on the credit card or that the credit card company will just rescind all the false charges. So most people really are pretty casual about it still. And at some point in time, we need to realize the credit card companies charge us for all of that. It's not free. And we need to be more proactive about it.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Scott in Onalaska is next. Let's go to Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good morning, guys. Great show.
Thank you.
Boy, you can't get through when this show calls. It's busy, busy. But I have an interesting, I've noticed a couple different credit card companies, even my own ones, that are sending what looks like rebate checks. And then if you cash those checks, you just signed up for some identity, protection. And it gets billed to your card every month. So people should watch out, And I have a pretty good, reputable credit card company, too. But it looks like almost like a rebate check. And then if you cash it, if you read the small print, it says that now you, upon cashing of this check, you're enrolled now for so much a month. Are you familiar or aware of that? And then I always have a good thing that I try to do is send everything back in their business reply envelopes, any junk mail, and that sometimes seems to get me off the list, too. So you put everything in there to make it heavy, so then when you send it back, they have to pay for the postage return, and you put on there not interested, and sometimes that works.
Sometimes, it'll get their attention. That practice actually has a name. It's been around a little while.
With the checks, yeah.
It's called affinity marketing, and it usually is a third party who has purchased the right to use your credit card company's name. So it looks like it's coming from your credit card company, and they're really selling you another product. It started out years ago. It was you would get a little friendly check from a hotel that you had stayed in.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like it was just a nice little $5 rebate or something. But they would actually then use the credit card that you had used at the hotel. to bill you to join their travel club or something to that effect. So I hadn't heard about them doing it for credit card protection. It's a good warning to everybody. The difficulty with that is, in general, when we've looked at these, the disclosure that's on the check is clear. It's small, but it's clear. And so people really need to protect themselves. So that's very, very good advice, is read everything. That little check isn't worth the price when you cash it. So,
all right. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Jim Rabbit, our guest today of the Bureau of Consumer Protection and with our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Consumer complaints and identity theft on our minds with Jim Rabbit of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, Larry Mueller here. Let's go back to the phones and Barb in Eau Claire next with a call. Barb, hi.
Hi there, and hi, Jim.
Good morning.
I have a question for you regarding cell phones and the do not call list. Can cell phone numbers be put on the list? I've been getting more and more solicitations on my cell phone lately.
Unfortunately, when the law that was written that put the no-call list into play, the way they wrote it, it was limited only to telephones whose wires terminate in a residence. And because they use those words relating to wires, cell phones are not included. There have been attempts in the last couple of years to add cell phones to the no-call list. This year it made it through the Senate, did not make it through the Assembly. Senator Erpenbach has been the big supporter of that. Of course, he was the author of the original no-call.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, cell phone numbers cannot be put on the list. And we know it's an issue. We know people who get solicitations on their cell phones are really angry because they're paying for the minutes.
Right.
Unlike your home phone. So it is a big issue, and I assume Senator Erpenbach will just keep introducing more and more legislation.
Yeah, and you kind of wonder why the Assembly wouldn't have voted it in. But that's what happened. There is a federal, is there not a do not call for the,
yes,
on the federal side? Because I think I filled it, or I think I actually went ahead and got online with that.
Yes, thank you for reminding me. I forgot about that. There is a federal do not call list which does accept cell phones. So you can put your cell phone on that list. It will help. They're not as aggressive about enforcing it, and there are some big loopholes in that one, but it will help some. I should give you the regular Wisconsin no-call list, too, if someone needs to sign up yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's 1-866-966-2255. And please remember that's an 866 number. The people who own the 800 equivalent of that will thank you for not calling that number.
1-866-966-2255. 2255. Okay. I wish we could help you out on the other, Barb.
Well, thank you. And I'd just like to have Jim remind people to use the Internet website for consumer protection. It has a wealth of knowledge out there and really can give people a lot of information that they need.
It's a good point. And thanks again. And what is the website, Jim?
Thank you, Barb, for reminding everyone of that. It's www.datcp, which stands for Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection, .state.wi.us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get through it just by going to wisconsin.gov and clicking down the agencies and looking for us.
Okay. Thanks again, Barb. And Connie in Arcadia is next. Hi, Connie.
Yes. My husband received a letter a couple days ago that sounds really like a scam. It purports to be from a lawyer in South Africa who has a client with the same last name as we do. And she has died with no descendants, and he's willing to work with us to try and get that money so it doesn't go to the government. And it's $18 million, and we would get half of it if we're willing to work with him.
Yeah.
The letter was mailed from the UK. He sent it with a tourist who didn't know the contents. And it's just very funny. I mailed it to you, actually. I put it in the mail today. But you know, that kind of thing is really appealing for someone who might need money, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
That's, you are correct. Your very first sentence, that is a scam. It's a scam that we know so well. It has a name. It's called the Nigerian scam because it usually comes from Nigeria.
Yep.
And it preys on your willingness to give them your bank account number so they can deposit their $18 million worth of ill-gotten gains.
That's how it works.
Sure,
okay.
And of course they will empty your account rather than put money into it. It's actually, we kind of laugh about it now, but there have actually been, there was one case where a businessman who lost a bunch of money went to Nigeria to try and do something about it and ended up being killed over there.
Oh, no.
These folks can, you know.
They don't fool around.
Play hardball.
Yep.
Yeah.
But the warning is always there. There's, it keeps going on and on, so they must hit the jackpot often enough to make it worth trying.
They keep trying.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting.
But don't respond, Connie.
Nope. We didn't do that.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And that's the kind of thing we get, I don't know how many hundreds of those you get on the email anymore. All kinds of those come via email.
Yes, that's and actually investment schemes, which is how we code that type of thing, was number 5 on the top 10 list of consumer issues.
Oh. Carol in Madison, your turn. Hi, Carol.
Hello, how are you?
Great, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I have an issue that seems to be, is a problem for not only myself, but my neighbor and a couple of other people, and that is that we have a contractor who installed some concrete last fall, and the concrete itself is deteriorating, flaking off, and having holes, and mine is also cracking. So he's saying that he doesn't even want to come out and see it because it's just been a bad winter, and so that must be our problem. Well, our neighbor's concrete, that was done at the same time as the as mine, doesn't have that kind of deterioration. No, but the two other people that have used different contractors that have that kind of deterioration, although not the crack that I have. What can we do about that? It seems as though everyone is saying, "Oh, we've had a bad winter." Well, we've had bad winters before, and other concrete has stayed stable.
You know, a bad winter or not, concrete should last more than one season. So I agree with you. The difficulty with this is there are laws in Wisconsin about contracting and whether or not they do the work that they're contracted to do. But in this case, it sounds like he did the work, but the quality was very bad. And it may be that he did the work properly and the quality of the concrete that he bought from the concrete supplier was bad. In either case, you shouldn't be holding the bag for this thing. So you can do a couple of things. You can file a complaint with us. Although, when it comes to the quality question, the bottom line is you may have to go to court and ask the judge to decide. Yeah, it would be probably small claims. And ask the judge to decide if concrete should last more than one season. Seems like it's a no-brainer, although he may bring in an expert saying elsewise. But that might be your only recourse.
Even though I use PetSafe, you know, I don't use salt, I use the PetSafe, whatever that is, potassium chloride, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying that the salt from the car is driving into the driveway, does it?
Well, it shouldn't do it in that short a time period.
Yeah, I'm not an attorney, but I think I would argue that concrete should be built to handle the salt from the cars. That's why you use it. That's why they make roads out of it. That
true.
Just sounds like something that would be pretty easy to fight against.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, especially if there were a number of us.
Yep.
Yes.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And you can get a complaint form at 800-422-7128?
Yes.
422-7128, 1-800. And Dolores in Kenosha, I think, is next. Dolores, hi.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
I had an encounter with a bill collector over the phone. We got a got it on the answering machine, and it says, this is so-and-so financial systems, and they gave their number, and they gave a reference ID and said, please call us because, you know, you have an outstanding bill. Well, I didn't call. I talked to my husband, and I said, well, he said, I think this is just garbage. Well, I waited a few days, and then I got another call. So what I did was I went online, and the first thing I found was there were thousands of hits for their name. In fact, they're being investigated in several states for their practices. They called us over the period of a week, 6 o'clock in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, around noon over several days. They had my husband's name and phone number, but our son's address in another city. Now, our son was named after his grandfather, which I think is where they got it. I finally called to find out what was going on, and they said, well, you know, they identified the company. Well, it was one of the satellite radio things, and a couple years ago, my husband had gotten a gift from his mother, which included 1 year paid service. It was all prepaid and everything. And they said, well, you know, you'll have to ask the company, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So I called them. Well, it was one of those phone calls where they say, press 1 for this, press 2 for that. But they really had no thing where you could contact the operator until I was standing here frustrated in my kitchen and made a few disparaging remarks about their service. 2 seconds later, there was a phone ringing on the other side, and I got a real person who accessed the account and said, you owe nothing. And he suggested that we call them back, and if they gave us problems, we should call the FCC. Just looking at this, what they were saying was that these people will basically, they fish around, and they go out and they buy up account numbers, whatever, and see what they can get. Now, we knew we had nothing. We knew we had, you know, no outstanding debt. But there's probably a lot of people out there who are, you know, afraid my credit rating's going to get, you know, horrible.
Yeah, they might actually have some debt that they don't know of.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple interesting things in what you said. Bill collectors are not supposed to be calling early in the morning or late at night. There are regulations about when they can call. In Wisconsin, they're actually regulated by the Department of Financial Institutions. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to file a complaint, that's who you would talk to. The other piece of advice for listeners is if you get a bill that doesn't look familiar or a call from a bill collector, follow up on it. Because often that's the first time you find out your identity's been stolen. Is you get a call about a bill that you don't have, and then that's where you start tracking that down and you discover somebody's been charging things to your accounts. So definitely do follow up on those, just as you did. Contact the company. Make sure you don't actually have a debt. And then, of course, the last thing is call the bill collector back. You can contest bills. So call them back and tell them that that is not a valid bill. They should not be collecting. They don't have the right person. They don't have the right address corrected to the person. A lot of things you can do to contest the bill.
And I have to say, I think just contacting them and being very strong about it did it, because we have not heard anything from anyone
since
3 months.
Yeah. Sometimes that's all it takes, is just to stand up to them. They'll go on to someone else who's a little easier.
Thanks
you so much.
Yeah,
thanks, Dolores.
Denise in Verona, your turn. Hi, Denise.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that really, really hacks me off is when credit card companies send blank checks imprinted with our name and address, so that all a person who lifts that piece of mail out of our mailbox, which would be easy to do given where mailboxes are placed in our neighborhood at the curb where all the high school kids walk by to get to school and so forth, all they need to do is fill out a really big amount and sign our name and cash the check. And one of those came from our own credit card company, trying to lure us into writing checks on the account and then paying the interest rate. So I called them and said, we do not want to receive any more of those. And they said, okay, we'll put a note in your account, and I'm waiting to see if that is sufficient to stop it. But a lot of times they come from credit card companies trying to get us to sign up for a new card. I take it that's a legal practice, sending blank checks that are already pre-printed?
It is legal. They cannot send functional credit cards
but they can do the checks.
There is a thing called opt-out, and I'll give you the 800 number. It's 1-888-5-OPT-OUT.
And that can opt us out of that specific...
What it is, it's called pre-screen, pre-approved credit card offers. They look at a group of people who have good credit ratings, and they send them a pre-approval. And in this case, it's in the form of a check. And all of the credit agencies, the credit reporting agencies, have agreed that if you call this opt-out number and put your name on that list, they will not give your credit rating to anyone who's going to use it for this purpose.
So that will drastically
reduce those kinds of offers.
Okay. I thought we had done that, but I guess that was, you know, the do not calls and this other thing.
Sure, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. And that might solve the other thing that I was going to ask about, which is, maybe not, but, you know, we are in some frequent flyer programs, and we get possibly 4 or 5 a week offers for credit cards that we don't want in my name, my husband's name, my 2 college student sons' names, and we end up having to do a lot of shredding. And I've called the airlines to say, please don't send these. They say, oh, well, they don't really come from us. Yeah, we gave your name to the credit card company, but you'll have to call the credit card company to opt out. I call the credit card company, and they say, well, you know, you'll have to call World Perks to... Well, everybody's passing the buck, and nobody admits that they're the one to call, so we keep getting them. And I just wondered if there's one place to get out of these.
This opt-out number should help a lot.
Okay, great.
I would assume that'll take care of most of them.
Great. Well, I thank you very much for your help.
Yep. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And let's take some more calls here. Bob in Oakland, and I'll bet you what? I'll tell you one thing. I'll bet a lot of people are going to call that opt-out number. 1-888-5-OPT-OUT. That's it.
Right? I hope they do.
Let's go to I wrote it down for myself. I can tell you, we get a lot of those in the mail, too.
Yes.
Bob in Eau Claire, it's your turn. Hi, Bob.
Good morning, and thanks for repeating that number. I was going to ask you to do that first off. I've got an interesting one. We are on both the federal and the state do not call list.
Okay.
And I guarantee you we're going to be on that opt-out list before the end of the day. But at any rate, we are getting a call, and we have caller ID here. We're getting a call that comes through at odd intervals of the day and evening. It's never at the same time 2 days in a row. Sometimes it'll skip a day. Sometimes it'll skip a couple of days. But the caller ID says that the origination is WPPA, and it's a 414-218 exchange. And there is never anybody on the line, and which is totally frustrating, because if there were a way to be able to say to somebody, look, whatever it is you're hawking, we don't want.
And that's a Wisconsin exchange.
It is a Wisconsin exchange, 414.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, and a 218, the first 3 digits are 280. So 414-280. And are you familiar with an organization that has the acronym WPPA?
I know of one that does telemarketing. It's an outfit called the Wisconsin Professional Police Association.
Okay.
Well, what I would ask you to do is contact our 800 number, get a complaint form, and send in that information. We'll find out who belongs to that number. If you can give us the number from your caller ID, We'll find out who belongs to it. One of the issues there is if it is someone like the Police Association, they're a charity, so they are exempt from the no-call law.
Oh, yeah.
So that could be what's going on.
Yeah. But the frustrating part is that there's never anybody on the line.
Yes.
And so it's like we're on some kind of a robocall list, but it rings, I've gotten to the point I don't answer it anymore. But my wife gets faked out and answers it all the time. So
what happens is they use an auto dialer to dial up a bunch of numbers.
Right.
And they use a system that's called a predictive dialer, which if they have a room full of telemarketers, this machine tries to predict when the next one will be available, and it mm-hmm. dials a number in advance. And then when you pick up the phone and there's no operator on the other end, it's because the predictive dialer got a little over-anxious and dialed too quickly, and there actually was no one ready.
Okay.
They need to turn down the wick a little bit so it won't dial quite as aggressively as it is.
Okay. Could you repeat either your number or your website, one or the other?
Sure. Let me give you our toll-free number. It's 1-800-422-7128.
And your web address?
7128.
Mm-hmm.
The web address is www.datcp.state.wi.us.
All right.
Is that state as in STATE?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And then that's WIS.US.
WI.US.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for calling.
Thank you.
And Karen in Portage. Hi.
Hello. A couple of quick comments and a question. One, ban those auto dialers. Two, ban solicitations for auto warranties when you don't even have the vehicle eligible. Third thing is, if you enter contests, I'm in contact with you people in regards to this, do not put a sticker where you would get this magazine, if you were getting a magazine, because you'll get a subscription. And the question is, I got an offer, and I've had it before, threw it out, and I'm wondering if this is legal. You have won a consolation prize. You can get this stereo, computer, etc., pick your choice, but you have to pay a certain amount of money to get it. Like the computer is a laptop and it's like $400 or something.
Yes.
Is that legal?
No, it is not.
Okay, then I will send you that thing.
Good.
Also.
In Wisconsin, the prize law simply says if you have to pay anything,
it's not legal.
It's not
okay,
legal.
Then I'll send you that.
You know, if they're going to give you a prize, they need to give it to you. Your other comments are interesting about banning the auto dialers. There actually was a bill in the legislature this year to try and do just that. It didn't make it through, but there are legislators who are listening and talking about that.
All right.
Drive you nuts.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate the call. And Jim, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. This has been a fast time.
It's been a fast time, and I appreciate it. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
I most certainly will.
Appreciate it very much. That 800 number again, 1-800-422-7128 for getting a complaint form or getting in contact with somebody from the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. Jim Rabbit, our guest today, he'll be back, and we'll do this again. Maybe he saved you some money and you want to invest that money. I'll tell you what, we'll talk investments next. Coming up here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.